Fullcast After Dark for men.
Where does he go when this happens?
Every time this man gets so loud, he
flickers to the Fullcast
into a different dimension.
Dark. You're listening to the internet's only late night recap show from the college football day that was. And we're going to talk about it because we were playing Rocky Top because Tennessee beat Florida.
What?
You can hear that. Yeah. Tennessee beat Florida. That happened. It was a good, Jason, the unbiased observer here. That was a good football game.
As the,
that was not a good football game.
Arbiter here that can issue a ruling having no partiality or emotions whatsoever as to which team won in this game. I will say this game was really good.
It was a good game. I can give it that. You know, like I can't even be mad. Our mistakes were huge. There's very, you know, like
that's
Florida.
That's how
didn't,
you want them.
That's how you want them. We didn't make little mistakes. No, sir. We made them big. Make them big. You know what? I want to be able to see them on film. Just in case some of the coaches are slow. Like, or I don't know, man. Maybe that's just a good route. Nope. Very large mistakes.
There were multiple times in this game where I looked up like, is this a dead ball type situation? Where is Florida's defense? Like, where was this play blown dead several seconds ago?
I saw the most open I saw someone today was in this game. The only thing that came close was in Baylor, Iowa State. There was a trick play so devastating that Baylor had a guy in the end zone with nobody within 20 yards. I mean, a lonely man, like so open he could properly be described as lonely. That was the only person I saw who even came close to being as open as three different Tennessee receivers were today.
Yeah, that's how you want it. And yet, both teams made grandiose errors because Florida ended up kind of almost winning.
Losing. If you kind of almost, it means you lost.
Well, yeah. Granted, you lost, but I won't say you almost win. I will say you kind of almost won.
And by the way, like, shouts out to Hendon Hooker. Like, massive praise, all kudos and plaudits to Hendon Hooker, thrown clear of the Virginia Tech program to seek rosier pastures in Knoxville, Tennessee, comes through, gets absolutely car crashed, crunched to the point where he went into the injury tent. Everyone thought he was injured. And then he came out and just took over the game completely. If there's one thing that you can really take joy in from this team, it's that even without their leading receiver, Cedric Tillman, who missed the game due to injury, Hendon Hooker came out and absolutely like embarrassed Florida defenders. So congratulations, Hendon Hooker. A magnificent thing for you. Holly is just soaking this in.
It is amazing. I just remembered to start recording local now.
Oh, did you?
just in case we need that.
That's fascinating. Sorry, Doug. That is it. I am also the game that I want to talk about, like really want to talk about here. Is I just want to talk about what happened to Arkansas at the end of the game.
Oh, thank God, we're done. Okay, I'm going to go play Nintendo.
Okay, so Hogs played the Aggies, and a couple of very bizarre things happened in this game.
So, I think the setup here is Arkansas every single year, no matter how good either of these teams are, Arkansas plays A&M, they build a lead, a multi-touchdown lead in the first half.
Correct.
They will lose. Everyone knows this. It happens every fucking year, usually in overtime, sometimes not. And Spencer, what happened this time around?
As much as we live and die with our beautiful wampum boys, we at least get to watch Jerry die a little more in real time.
Slowly, yes.
Which, it's got to be slowly because he doesn't have that far to go, man. Look at him.
I did say he
looks like he's been dead for 3 days.
There's only so much more dying Jerry can do.
I beg to differ. I got plenty more dying to do.
I'll show you, sons of bitches.
I'll show you.
I'll be deader than hell.
I can die for decades.
I mean, look at my NFL franchise. I can die for years.
I mean, literally, the man's been dying for over 20 years. They made the playoffs within this millennium, right? I don't know. No one remembers.
I'm full of life. It's happening. I hire Mike McCarthy. I definitely know things. What I would like to say about this game is that, yes, Arkansas always loses. In this case, two astonishing things happened to change the trajectory of this game. One, there was a touchdown play, KJ Jefferson moving toward the end zone inexorably, right? Because when KJ Jefferson moves, remember, it's kind of like the juggernaut at an Indian religious festival, right? It's just moving at 2 miles an hour through a crowded area, right? Very slowly. And he's moving toward the end zone over the course of a good 5-minute run. And he's about to breach the walls of the Texas A&M defense. And for some reason, he takes flight and stretches toward the end zone. Jason, what happened then?
I don't know. I didn't see. You tell me.
Okay, I'm going to tell you. The ball came out. Okay, he didn't have to jump. He didn't have to leap or extend the ball. He reaches toward the end zone. The ball comes out. It fumbles. Around the 13-yard line, the A&M defender who has the ball realizes that he does not have the gas tank for this particular move, and he laterals it like Ed Reed against Boston College, right? Laterals it, and the ball travels the remaining distance to the end zone in the hands of another A&M defender for a 6-point swing that became a 7-point swing with the conversion of an extra point. That's a lot of weird for one team.
But we're not done.
those points seem pretty valuable and important. But
yes,
Arkansas had a chance, was within range of a game-winning field goal.
And yet, Arkansas attempts the field goal. The ball begins to just lean a little bit to the right, intersects the right upright at the goddamn top. Okay,
attempts to land on top of the upright, well, like a mother bird with a nest.
Don't recruit your kickers from Dude Perfect. No. All right, do not recruit them from Dude Perfect, because the ball landed boop, right on top of the upright. Bounce.
It was sick, bro.
It was sick, bro. It was. When you hit that, we all went, whoa, and started high-fiving.
Every 9-year-old boy in America was like, oh, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
That's so good. Their father's going, no, son, no. You've been YouTube poisoned.
Dad, watch this YouTube video. The ball touches the top of it. Dad,
it's
watch this.
It's so sick.
Dad, please watch this.
No, you need to watch it. No, wait, there's an ad. It's okay. Here, just stick through. We can skip it in 3 seconds.
It takes 7 minutes, but it's so worth it.
It's so worth it. By the way, 22% of conversation between the young and the old at this point is, please watch this YouTube video.
Please. Yeah, please. Please watch this video, TikTok or YouTube, one of the two.
Yeah. Or between me and my friends. That's another thing. But the ball hit, and then it bounced cruelly forward. As Joe Tessitore himself said, because of course Joe Tess was calling this game, never even crossed the plane of the goal. Never went across the crossbar. Like, just like illustrating the absolute astronomically minute chances that this would happen. However, Jason, you're saying, wow, I've never heard of that. Surely this is something that hasn't happened. Has this happened before? Have you ever seen this before?
Not that I recall. And I've watched a lot of football. A lot of terrible football.
Hey, Holly, has this happened before?
Has what happened before?
The ball reaching the top of the upright, bouncing off the damn thing, and then coming off?
Gosh, Spencer, I don't know.
Yes. Yes, it has. It happened earlier this year.
What?
That is correct.
Wait, Wyoming.
That is correct. Tulsa and Wyoming. heading to OT. Wyoming lines up and hits it off the top of the damn right upright. It just hits it off the upright.
It's funnier when it happens indoors.
This one was even wilder because it hit the top of the upright at like this one had some altitude. The Arkansas one had some altitude to it, like some real height.
It might actually be a bird.
Yeah, no, outdoors, this sucker, this one was on a rope, on an absolute rope, and still same result.
Yeah, bounced the deceler, free. If you watch it, the deceleration that the ball appears to go through in order to land, to alight atop of the upright is kind of amazing and seems improbable for something of the size and speed of a traveling football.
Yeah, it really shouldn't be like this. But yes, it has already happened.
It really shouldn't be like this. Oh, doesn't that cover a lot of today?
Yeah. The ball striking the top of the goalpost, it calls to mind Jimbo Fisher's only good take ever, that we should put lasers on the top of each post. But in this case, we didn't need it because it hit the darn actual goalpost.
I think there should be a button up there, and if you hit it, like streamers and steam guns should go off, like smoke guns, right? Like,
yeah. I like that much better than the this should be worth 100 points thing or this is an automatic victory thing. I don't think it should be worth any points. I think it should
spectacle.
Start an alarm or something. Yeah, just hit the pyro.
What if both end zones shoot foam and you have to play the rest of the game at a foam party?
Yeah, like the Nickelodeon NFL games is what we do.
Yeah, I think it should do that or everybody gets a free tuna sandwich, right? Like, your team just lost the game, but Subway provides a free tuna sandwich.
Legally, they can't call that tuna.
Provides a free fish slurry sandwich to everyone in the stadium.
That is the sandwich that Jerry would spring for. We know that much.
And it would be
it's got
some
lemon
kind of
juice in it. It's a preservative.
It looks as young as I do.
I don't know what voice I was doing.
Jerry Jones fish paste sandwich. Go Hogs. Yeah, rough night for my Wompin' Hogs. But even then, remember, what we womp tonight? Reality.
Dude,
that's
now,
right.
Now you're the Bonkin' Hogs.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about the bonk off the top of the to be right. Absorbing about what God thinks of rich men during these games.
I don't know. I said he looked like Tom York's dad. That can't be good. He does kind of look like Tom York's dad. Yeah, Arkansas sadly did womp and did lose. They fall to 3-1.
I just want to note I proposed to the internet that when the ball strikes a goalpost, we've all agreed that's a doink. Now, in honor of Arkansas, when a ball hits the top of the upright, that is hereby going forward an oink.
Beautiful.
Oh, can't spell boy without oink. That's gonna be a bumper. That's gonna be a bumper sticker somewhere in here. Yeah, I have a question for you.
You have a question
for her? Yeah, what shirt are you wearing right now? They can't see this on the space, but what shirt are you wearing right now?
Who, me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm wearing a Kansas basketball shirt. Unfortunately, I know we're a football school. I married into Kansas fandom. We are a football school. We're 4-0. No surprise. No big deal. It's normal. That's the standard. But you know, we're dabbling in basketball as well.
I know we're in some sort of like year-long Mercury and retrograde thing because the center of the college football universe for multiple weeks has been the state of Kansas because two things happened today. One, Kansas beat Duke in the naturally your watch list most anticipated game,
yeah,
of the day,
yeah, it was an entertaining game with like multiple legit highlights. I'm kind of used to KU football highlights being like they forgot how to spike the football, they forgot how to kneel down. These are things that have happened, but this time it was like a dude ran 85 yards working his ass off. He cared about getting to the end zone and he was able to do it. And like the biggest lay in the lumber form tackle I saw today was by a freaking Jayhawk. That's not normal.
No, not normal at all. Additionally, by the way, Jalen Daniels is quickly approaching triple option God status. Cause really like, KU runs an option-based offense, and they do a lot of like triple option-y kind of stuff that they camouflage in a lot of different ways. But like, there is this tier of dudes who run that at this point, like Grayson McCall, of Coastal Carolina, who I hope is like not seriously injured after walking off at the Georgia State game, but like him, old school Darian Hagan, guys who are very good at looking like they hand the ball off. The color commentator on this was Devin Gardner, who I did not know Devin Gardner was doing color commentary. If you don't remember Devin Gardner, he was last seen enduring some of the most heinous and hellish experiences any Michigan quarterback has ever experienced as Brady Hoke's punching bag of choice in the Brady Hoke era at Michigan. He was awesome, but he was like, y'all, Jalen Daniels, he's so good at the handoff. It always looks like he's giving the ball. I can't explain. I was like, nah, that can't be true. No, he's right. He's right. Jalen Daniels always looks like the ball can be in the other hand visibly. And you're like, nope, that's a give. That's a give.
Devin was a super pleasant surprise because I remember interviewing him a few times as a player. And I remember him being like super shy. And I'm really glad that he's, I hate to use the word blossomed because it's disgusting. But yeah, he nailed it. This was great.
It is. I mean, it's cool we all three of us independently noticed this. Like, I usually do not pay much attention at all to announcers, but also play-by-play guy Eric Collins. I thought both the announcers were like noticeably great in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they. I think it's because they were so good on such a shit assignment. Elevate them, please, universe.
This was the game of the week. This is a wonderful, wonderful assignment. Mm-hmm. Anyone should be honored to be associated with Duke, Kansas. Mm-hmm. I had the new experience for me today was turning away from a Kansas game because they were winning by too much. I don't know if anyone has ever done that before. I was like, oh man, this is getting kind of boring. I better see if Clemson can pull it out against fucking Wake Forest. That sounds
good.
Which, sure, fine. Wake Forest has been good for like 8 minutes. Fine. But I'm not used to, let me see if Clemson can hang against Wake Forest.
I appreciate that Clemson and Wake Forest making it interesting enough to postpone me watching the Florida loss by 5 minutes. I also appreciate Sam Hartman just making shit up the whole game. Sam Hartman is an all-time legendary making shit up QB, which he gets to do in that offense. But like, there's sometimes where you go, oh man, you shouldn't throw that ball, and it's out. There it goes. Sam Hartman just went ahead and threw it anyway.
They just like, do shit.
They just, yeah, they just, as Richard and I have discussed this principle, that there are football players that are just like, they just, and this is a technical phrase, they just be doing shit back there. Mm-hmm. Sam Hartman is one of those guys. He's just doing shit back there all the time.
I still, after 3 or 4 years of it, I still am not used to what I think Richard coined the the father walking the bride down the aisle option handoff they do. Where they're just walking that's side by side holding the ball together. Mm-hmm, and it's bros. So fucked up. It's like, one, you guys are going to get hurt. No, they gain 7 yards. It's the weirdest shit in the world.
It is the it is the chicken handoff, right? Like, you're gonna hit me? You're gonna hit me? No! I am really glad that they did not do this when ACC partner Pitt had Aaron Donald on the defensive line, because there would have been deaths.
Yeah, it's all cute till Aaron Donald shows
that's
up.
That's not deaths, as like oily smears.
Yeah.
The mesh. Oh, I get to break. Not only do I get to beat two blockers, I get to tackle two ball carriers at once.
Yeah, you're going to need a shop vac to clean that up.
Just like streaks of sunscreen and blood.
Yeah. But shouts out to them. Also, DJ Uiagalelei had a good game. Like, he had a very good game through the game-winning touchdown, which is hilarious because it was throw it to the giant tight end who absolutely boxes out and knocks his defender away with his ass. Like, boxed out and then blocked his dude with his ass to get distance to catch the ball.
Yeah, that's what Wake Forest defense is for. A little pick-me-up for for everyone.
The same early shift, you talked about announcers getting what they deserve. I sort of feel like Mark Jones and Robert Griffin III were made to call Auburn Mizzou, because everything you need to know about this game can be encapsulated in one quote from Mark Jones, who described the Auburn and Mizzou special teams performance combined as raggedy.
They're a fantastic duo. Somebody, I forget who, I regret, search Twitter, you'll find it, last week referred to RG3 as college football's Bill Walton. And this week, Matt Scalise called him and I think you should leave character sitting down to call a football game. he's fantastic, man. He's the version of just be doing shit. He's just saying shit. That's him up in the booth.
It turns out you can just say anything into the microphone and it'll show up on television.
Appear on my TV.
Also, I enjoy him sort of baiting Mark Jones out a little bit. Like, come on, Mark, let's loosen up a little bit, baby. Let's do it. At one point today, Mark Jones said something like, what are we doing here?
See, like in past years, they've paired Mark Jones with like someone who like won't recognize his song references or whatever. Right. Like he'll do stuff like that. Whereas now he's the guy who's trying to keep up.
Yeah.
It's great. Like he has become the old man in the booth. Old isn't bad.
I would not have called RG3 as this dude prior to hearing them in the booth, like over the past year. It has been a delightful surprise that he is the guy who I'm like, ooh boy, that's gonna be a phone call. that's absolutely beautiful. By the way, I saw that MTSU was in the space. Let's go ahead. Let's talk about MTSU Miami if you're listening. I know that's what you were doing. I know that's why you're here.
Also, shout out to the official SportsCenter account in the appearing in the chat. What's up, SportsCenter?
Yes. Yes, it's time.
We can see y'all, right?
Yeah. We're here to talk about MTSU. I want to start with this. Miami in the Mario Cristobal regime. I think this is familiar to anyone who watched Cristobal at Oregon. The in-game stuff, it never looks as good as the recruiting rankings. It's just not. This is firmly an example of who I think at this point in his career, and this could change. Sometimes you give Mario a nice prime rib or a good New York strip, and he looks at it and goes, make a hamburger, boys. Make a hamburger. You're like, you should probably cook that and the temperature test. They're like, nope, hamburger. Let's grind it all up.
I feel like the problems in this one started way before the end game, though. Like the end game was okay. Miami scored 3 of the last 5 touchdowns, but however, they were down 24-3 against.
Wait! Let's just rewind.
Against a mediocre Conference USA team.
Final score. 45-31.
So they battled back somewhat against the team everyone made fun of like 4 days ago for extending their coach who goes above 500 every year. I think that's all you can ask of Mitsu. But then here he is delivering on that massive investment of, I don't know what they pay him, $9.25 an hour, and kicking Miami's ass.
If you score 45 points, okay, and you only kick one field goal, dude, that's 6 touchdowns. How many first downs did MTSU have on the night? That's correct. They only had 14, meaning all MTSU did was throw bombs. That's it. Every time they needed a touchdown, they just threw a 98-yard touchdown. I'm not making that up. They threw a 98 touchdown. Their drive in the third quarter was at the 14:45 mark. I'm sorry, fourth quarter was Chase Cunningham pass complete to DJ England Chisholm. Great name. For 98 yards for a TD. 98. That's it. Miami is like 11 plays. 12 plays. MTSU, 2 plays. Touchdown.
They were doing the national anthem.
They were.
Bombs bursting in air.
They were. That's all they did.
Mr. Cunningham on the day completed 16 passes for 408 yards.
Bombs bursting in air.
Bombs! Hit this man with the flex bomb, the sound effect, because that's all he was doing all day long.
His completions went for 25 and a half yards each. A 98, an 89, a 69, and then some other stuff we don't even acknowledge. Big numbers only for the Blue Raiders.
They were 3-for-12 on third down, and they won by 2 scores and scored 45 points. They put in Garcia to replace Van Dyke and people were cheering. Oh, that's rough.
A historical question from one of the two Matt Browns who post college football history on Twitter, from Mormon Matt Brown. What is funnier, that Miami is now 0-3 against Middle Tennessee?
What?
Because they played back before Miami was the Canes. They played back in the olden days.
Oh, dear.
Notre Dame is a combined 0-3 against UConn, Tulsa, and Marshall. Or that Bama is 0-3 against Rice.
The third one.
Yeah, it's got to be that one. Never play them again, Bama.
Never play them again, Rice, I think you mean.
Yeah.
Rice.
Out on top.
I think we should circle back to a game that concerns the state of Kansas because we should spend a bit of time on this one. Actually, speaking of, here is a stat from the from non-Mormon Matt Brown. Kansas, I think at least, Kansas State had 50 in the first 58 years of the AP poll. K-State had one win over a top 10 team. In the last 4 years, K-State has three top 10 wins, all against Oklahoma.
You know, it's important to find a fulfilling and rewarding hobby.
I love that.
That you can do well.
OU fans are like, oh, thank God, Bill Snyder's out of here. We don't got to deal with that bullshit anymore. Uh-oh. Oh, well, Lincoln Riley's out of here. The new guy won't lose to, uh-oh. They just can't. People from Oklahoma love to lose to Kansas State. I guess they do.
It's a passion.
Yeah, maybe this evidently. Is their hobby. I didn't think about that. Or their kink.
Yeah, no, this is their kink. They're like, they're gonna, what I really want to do.
Honey, turn into Fox and hold me down by the neck until my face matches Snyder's windbreaker.
Hold me. Step on my throat and make me watch a 19-play field goal drive to people in purple.
What I want you to do is I want you to
get in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Get a 2-star JUCO linebacker, have him put on high heels, and walk on my back.
You know how we completely own Oklahoma? How about you take their quarterback and have him look like a Heisman contender against us? Adrian Martinez, of course, who is 52 years old, according to the Google search box that's surfaced someone's shenanigans on Wikipedia, but it's not far off.
No, he might be Bruce Feldman. We're not sure.
He really might be. It's true. Bruce is spry. I don't, you know, it, like, he
there,
could
spry,
do this.
That's the word that you used. If you spry. Look at Adrian Martinez, you would describe him as sprightly.
I get why you leave Adrian Martinez.
College student.
He's limber. Look at him. He's a limber dude. I get why you leave Adrian Martinez unmarked, though, because the prospect of getting embarrassed by Deuce Vaughn in the open field is so mortifying that you just forget the quarterbacks back there. Deuce Vaughn is all of 5'5", and when he embarrasses somebody, it really does look like a middle schooler completely chewed you out of your shoes. Which you don't want to happen to you. So yeah, I get it. I understand Oklahoma.
I just love that Oklahoma is like very clearly leaving for the SEC just to escape Kansas State. Just fuck this. We're done with this shit. This is stupid. If we're going to lose to a purple team, at least make it LSU.
Like, no, we're tired of losing to this Cal College. Like, don't, which by the way, proud Cal College. We're not saying that as an insult. K-State's like, no, man, we got nice cows. We got great them cows. Pretty cows. Great cows.
We take 2-star cows, turn them into 5-star cows.
We got winner cows. Speaking of 5-star cows that don't deliver.
Well, can't wait to see where this is going. Go ahead.
Can I tell you what happened in Lubbock, Texas tonight?
Is someone else fleeing to the SEC?
Did something happen to Texas, this university that was not a state until after Tennessee was a school?
Every goddamn time we fall for this, every Texas is back.
No,
oh man, that one point.
Wait, who is we?
Yeah,
who is this we that fell
not
for
us.
This? Speak
not
for
us.
Your fucking self.
One point, the one point loss to Bama, the inspirational loss. Like, oh man,
no, No.
That vaulted around. That vaulted them into the top 25.
That vaulted them into the top 25. Well, guess what, brother? The express elevator's waiting, and it's got your name on it. It's headed down because number 22 Texas went out to Lubbock against the 3-1 and should be ranked Texas Tech Red Raiders and lost 37-34. This, by the way, included the funniest post-game video I've seen.
We all had to guess like 3 weeks ago.
You're like McGuire?
McGurk?
Yeah.
McGurk?
We know it now. Don't add us.
The funniest post-game video, which is a first person perspective of somebody storming the field and turning around to flash the horns down directly in the face of Hookem.
God, I would have shot their hand off. That is so disrespectful. It was beautiful.
It was perfectly framing not only the face of Plushy Bevo or whatever we call that thing that's not Bevo.
Yeah, Hookem, yeah.
There's also two irate cheerleaders staring right at the hand as well. This is absolutely perfect framing. Like,
it made me realize that when they are in the SEC, all I am going to do is horns down for fun. I'm going to do it by myself in empty parking lots. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it to like beef sitting in the meat freezer, right? Like I'm just going to.
Actually, that should be a thing, folks. When you're doing your weekly grocery shopping, please stop by the meat department and tell Beefo what you think of Texas's performance this weekend.
It feels so good. I don't even hate Texas.
Even if you're a vegetarian, you can go corn down. I just like this. I love that they Streisand affected themselves into horns down being like this national hand sign for I like college football. It's so fucking awesome. Like they were such huge babies about it. And they tried to turn it into like, we're living rent free in everybody's heads. And like, well, we just think about how much you suck. And like, we think that's cool. And we like to we have this hand sign that we show each other that says, hey, I think Texas is a bunch of big babies. Do you? And then someone does it back because they agree.
And like, 129 teams and their fan bases find it delightful. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, everyone thinks you're really funny. Is that the kind of rent you want
for free?
I don't hate
Texas either. This is a recent development. They did this to themselves.
Hey, guys. Regional managers meeting. Really glad you're all here. The one thing I want to start with is don't talk about Steve sucking. I'm Steve. I get really offended when people talk about me sucking.
Like, and then Steve spends like several days like, they're all talking about how much I suck. That means they're jealous of me. No, it means you suck.
The work Slack has an emoji that me is Steve sucks.
Steve's face upside down is what it is. Steve down. I'm dropping a Steve down on him. Steve's not even here. Steve quit 3 years ago. Too bad. Too bad. Hit him with the Steve down.
Steve sucks. Dead Steve down.
2008.
Get you know Steve what? Sucks.
I go to Steve's grave and I go, Steve sucks. Just hit him with the Steve down.
Oh, you got Steve downed.
Everybody listen. I got IBS. I got IBS. Don't mess with my IBS.
God made Bevo, not Steve-O.
Here comes old brown pants Dave.
Wow. Pulling a Steve. Can we play a game real quick?
I would love
yes.
a game.
All right. I'm gonna list some games, and you tell me which team will win, okay?
All right.
Texas, West Virginia.
Oh boy.
Pass.
I'm gonna go West Virginia.
Okay. Texas, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma?
Yeah, I'll go Oklahoma.
Okay. Texas, Iowa State.
Iowa State,
yeah.
Texas at Oklahoma State.
Jason, I feel like you're going somewhere with this.
I'm gonna go Okie State.
I'm gonna go Texas on that one just to be
funny. A tie. Okay. Texas at this Sooner killing monsters of Kansas State.
Kansas State.
Go Kansas State.
How can you bet against Kansas State at this point? It's illogical.
Texas. By the way, remember, this is the same Kansas State team that lost to Tulane
That's right.
Last week.
Yeah, I posted like Kansas K-State is going to be the game of the year, and a K-State fan is like, how can you compare our achievements to theirs?
You lost to Tulane. Settle down.
Everyone saw.
Texas TCU, who you got?
Oh. Mm.
TCU with the win over SMU today.
Fuck it. TCU.
Texas, but it'll be ugly.
Okay, another tie. We have added up to one win for Texas. Texas Texas at Kansas. Oh, fuck.
Kansas,
again,
baby!
How do you bet against Kansas? Does Kansas have both of the best teams in the Big 12 right now?
They really might.
I said this a couple weeks ago, and I was kind of kidding, and I'm not really kidding anymore.
And finally, Texas Baylor.
Oh, Baylor.
Baylor.
Okay. Wow. I looking at Texas's schedule, this was the remainder of Texas's schedule. I was like, this team might finish 5-7, but we've parked them at 3-9. So.
Well, at least they get to do their little choo-choo song.
Yeah, not during bowl season though.
No.
I mean, I guess they can do it at home.
They need January off to storm the Capitol.
They can do it at home. I just want you to imagine this, okay? The family gathered around the big white tech in Canada,
around
okay?
The white and orange tree. I've been working on the railroad and very then, racistly.
And then imagine this. My ass in a Santa suit flying down the chimney, immediately flashing double horns.
Horns down first. That's the first thing to appear out of the fireplace flue. You break both hands at the bottom, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
Worth it! Show up as fucking Texas Scrooge. except the bad thing about you is that you're not rich. That's how Texas Christmas works.
Right, yeah. As their children unload the AR-15s they got for Christmas into me, right? I'm like, worth it! Totally worth it!
Texas Tech, I want to note, their coach, Johnny McGurkey, after the game, announced, he had a hell of a speech. It was a kick-ass victory speech.
Did he cut a promo?
He cut a fucking promo. He was like, I told you they were going to quit, and they quit. Like, oh, goddamn. Yeah. he said, a reporter asked me if I felt good about beating Texas. I don't care about beating Texas. I care about being 1-0 in the Big 12. It's like, goddamn, bars left and right. And then he said, we keep it up. We keep practicing. We keep getting better because everything runs through Lubbock. Like, what a nightmare scenario.
That's a hell of a commute you set up there for us, sir.
Imagine how many nukes would have to be dropped throughout the Great Plains region for all of American shipping to be routed through Lubbock.
And it's like, we can arrange that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're feeling pretty positive toward the Red Raiders today. They can make it happen.
I will say that. Like, I really prefer a football game where I don't see another team quit. Like, if that's my own team, like today, I will say Florida played real stupid for large chunks of the game and got outplayed.
Sulk. That was weird.
But they didn't quit. Like, they were stupid and thrashing. Stupid and thrashing to the end.
They were on the verge of doing some quitting before Tennessee tried to hand the game back to them 5 or 6 times.
Listen, right? I will take this moral victory. Stupid, not as talented as we should be, fighting. That's fine. I'll take that every time. Arkansas, just really always sort of a perpetually undermanned team. Like, Arkansas always has something where you go, did you guys forget to recruit a wide receiver for 3 years? Yep. Just don't have them. just doing fine without them, I guess. You guys could be eating beans and toast. I know, but we're out of toast. Been out of toast for years.
Handfuls of beans.
Just eating handfuls of beans.
Dry beans.
Yeah, just dry beans. You could cook those. Crunchy, yeah, but strong. You know,
we don't have fire.
Well, yeah, gas got cut off years ago. Like, and Arkansas just makes do, right? But if you're a team like Texas, where I'm like, I know you have a top 10 recruiting class coming, I know you have talented players, and you're getting cracked in Lubbock, and their coach is coming out like, quitters! that's brutal!
Texas has never in its life made do, right?
No!
If Texas goes camping, they better have a fucking chandelier. Like, they need all the appointments and accoutrements and amenities that you can possibly imagine in order to survive one night of camping.
Even Bama's never had to do that, but even then, they're like, my panic room has a panic room. And inside that panic room, there's another panic room.
If shit gets real dire for Bama, they can still be powered by, like, spite and anger and shit. Texas doesn't have that.
No, man. We need a you know what they need? They need a fundamental. We need to put them
to Outward Bound for a semester. Right?
We need to put them. We need to put them on the hero's path. We need to do so. We need to like take their money. I mean, actually, that's what we, you know what?
Ooh, I got a better idea, and it even involves singing. It involves singing and dancing.
Yeah.
You do what a truly diabolical stepmother of my acquaintance did, and send her no account child to Up With People for a year to tour.
Ooh.
Is Up With People still a thing?
I hope not.
Horns down with people.
I truly hope not, but yeah.
Yeah, like I send, like send do something to like show that.
Choir for a year. Let them learn true suffering.
Yeah, do the, or you know what? Money in the Bank match. You know, like Texas Tech, I know, just put up an unreal amount of money that is in order to demonstrate a commitment to a football program. I'm not sure how much of that money is, you know, like in the bank and real. Why don't we make it that way? Why don't we put some dollars up? Oh, or better yet, you're the Red Raiders. Earn the nickname, Texas Tech. Like, if their coach is so fired up, talk him into robbing Texas's football offices tonight. He'll do it. He's like, I told you they'd quit. They wouldn't keep me out of the vault. I made it.
So speaking of the great state of Texas and of wrestling promos, Stone Cold Stephen F. Austin today. They put up 599 yards. Their opponent put up all of 141. Stone Cold had a +4 turnover advantage, 28 first downs to 9. Got 2 safeties, a punt return touchdown, scored 98 points to 0. Because they were playing NAIA Warner University, the Royals of Polk County, Florida, a school with 1,200 students.
Polk County's got a college?
Yeah. They were a resounding 0-3 today. Last year they gave up scores like 76 and so forth. My point is this: Stone Cold Stephen F. Austin had 98 points and a chance to hit an even 100, but they took a knee instead of going for 2. If you run up 98 points on me, you better make it an even 100. Like, give me a story to tell my grandkids or whatever.
But at least make me a trivia question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's some bullshit. Like, if you're going to schedule a fucking NAIA team, you Division I team going down 4 levels, put a round hundo on them.
And there's absolutely nothing merciful about pulling up at 98. Eat shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You feel virtuous for, oh, we kept it to double digits. What the fuck is that?
No, y'all quit. You quit.
That's, Stone you Cold quit. Wouldn't quit.
That's
take,
no.
Take
Steve,
that name
not
off
unlike
your university.
Stephen F. Austin at the Alamo. You quit.
You got to change your.
Don't fact check me on this.
You know what Stone Cold did when he was in the sharpshooter? He passed out instead of quitting. All right, so you are no longer named after him.
You know, Stephen F. Austin. My kids are big into like Napoleonic history right now because of course they would be.
They're both kind of like Napoleon.
That's right. Perfectly average heights for their time. Napoleon is like the king of that, of quitting. Like, he is the biggest, like, hey, you quit on the team. Things got hard in Egypt and they didn't go well in like the African expedition. Guess what he did?
He's chucked like, it back. He's like, I'm hot. And he went home.
He was like, I'm going to steal some antiquities and go home. That's what he did. Okay. He hobby-lobby.
Beth, if it sucks after getting 100,000 people killed, hit the bricks.
He hit the bricks. And then when things got shit in Russia and he lost all of his men, guess what he did?
He hit the cobbles.
He hit the cobbles.
He hit the black swamp mud.
He literally hit the skids of a sled and went all the way back to Paris.
So Texas football, Napoleon, notorious quitter.
I would like to salute.
We got our song now.
I have something that I really thought I would never say, which is this: Bo Nix, elite quarterback. That's right.
Jesus, now what?
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to read you Bo Nix's line, and you're going to see a new threat rising in the West. A bright, burning ball of gas and intensity, of pure flame. Rising where the sun should not be. A great feathered duck beast. Once a tiger plainsman eagle.
Duck beast.
Now morphed into a killing machine. Down to Wazoo and then roaring back with a 29-point fourth quarter. Bo Nix going 33 for 44 for 428 yards and 3 scores.
That's not what was happening when I looked at this game. When did things turn?
No, they turned in the second half. Because at the half, it was 17-9. Wazoo put it on him.
Yeah, Bo Nix said, when I turned this game off, Bo Nix had just thrown a pick six.
That is correct. The full Bo Nix experience.
Right.
Typically, the Bo Nix experience ends there. The pick six. No. We've written a new chapter.
This is the typical Bo Nix experience.
428 yards?
Not that number, but it's the Pac-12. Like, numbers get weird. Like, the pick six and then good stuff. That's the Bo Nix experience.
Are you saying that, like dinosaurs in Jurassic Park, once we released him into an ecosystem that had no natural checks and balances for his power, he's now running loose in a different environment?
Apparently.
Are you saying Lane Kiffin is not a human lysine dependency?
You're saying that he's the cane toad of the Pac-12. Like,
yeah,
once
and
we
they lick him to... Oh, never mind. I've upset myself. I've upset myself. Please move on.
Bo licks.
Bo licks.
That's right. Shouts out to Bo Nix. He's doing work.
To his continued campaign to inspire terror in both teams every time he drops back.
Every damn time. Love it.
A final score has rolled in. The unstoppable USC juggernaut posted 17 points against Oregon State on a channel I have never seen and did secure the victory.
I don't know if you saw, by the way, in the Baylor-Iowa State game, I don't really want to note too much other than the trick play and this. I saw Dave Aranda spanking some ass.
What?
Dave Aranda. Yeah, as a celebration, Dave Aranda's favorite thing is to just give you a good clap on the ass. And Dave Aranda is fierce with it, so fierce that another coach lined up to get his ass spanked. Like, yeah, Dave, get in there!
That's brotherly.
Chap them cheeks! Let's go!
Coach, I think I've earned one.
With the strength coach, and I know it had to be the strength coach, looking on going, yeah! That's way too much pre-workout. You know what too much pre-workout is? Whatever was happening there. Like, yeah, spank him!
It's just a really good time. I want to circle back to one thing that happened during the early games. I was watching Clemson Wake at the time. I'm not sure how many games it affected, but I gather it was a crossover event. Clemson Wake cut away to show some baseball man. He plays for the New York Yankees. He doesn't pitch, so therefore he's not the best player, because there's the really good hitter who also pitches is clearly a better player. But anyway, this guy for the Yankees almost has 61 home runs. And for some reason, the TV thought I needed to watch this with audio of him like grounding to first or whatever, instead of a Clemson Wake touchdown and conversion and so forth. I don't know why. Sorry, I grew up in the 1990s on the National League. I'm used to like big, glorious, huge, fat numbers into the 70s. Like a 61st home run means nothing to me, and I cannot imagine why I would need to interrupt Wake Forest football. I do want to bring up Kegs and Eggs proposed. If we're going to break into football games to show Yankee at bats, the least we can do is break into baseball games to show each Iowa Rutgers.
Oh,
punt.
Yeah, we should get to pick too.
That would be the shootout between Iowa and Rutgers that hit the over.
This game was awesome. As an Iowa watcher, there was a point in this game when between touchdowns and safeties, Iowa's defense had found the end zone as many times on the year as the Iowa offense had. Four each. And the broadcast was great because like FS1 leaned into the pervert element. They were like, we know why you're here. Like they kept dropping like punter tail of the tapes and like punter battle stats, and like their final shot was the two punters shaking hands at midfield. Like let's give the people what they want. It was like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers meeting at midfield. It was like, let's go to the real stars of the game.
Thank you for the real meet whoever directed this game.
Yes, this game did hit the over. The over was 34.5 points. Go count how many teams did that by themselves. It did it via a doinked in field goal.
That is correct. Bank shot.
And needed multiple Iowa defensive touchdowns just to get there in the first place. Perfection. If that Iowa's is record is sullied by an over, this is the way I needed it done.
What a beautiful moment for our sport.
I want to check in on another team that I am tracking this year. Colorado.
You know what? I was just looking at that. Because I was going to say, they rallied for an unprecedented outburst of offensive productivity, totaling 19 first downs, yeah. Actually racking up some yardage on the ground to challenge UCLA and lose 45-17.
Their first time all year going over 13 points. Yeah, they already were on pace to be the worst Colorado team ever, with Sports Reference SRS making them an underdog by a touchdown, even against Colorado's previous one-win teams. And Colorado then underperformed expectations against UCLA. That number will get bigger and worse because they failed to cover a 22-point spread at home against a UCLA their record looks nice.
I'd like to talk about somebody who's disappointing. My team!
Is this the Tar Heels? Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, no. Notre Dame had just been saving these points to drop on Mack Brown's skull. They scored 45 points. Notre Dame couldn't pee past their shoes for several weeks in a row. And yet, against the North Carolina Tar Heels, when they heard Gene Chizik defensive scheme bolted upright like the Undertaker and just started hitting the bricks, man.
Their eyes lit up. They started patting their hungry tummies.
They did. They got the internet laser eyes on. Like, they scored 45 damn points on Mack Brown, who at certain points in this game, whenever I flipped over, looked like they were about to punch the security guard at the Piggly Wiggly.
The food lion.
Oh, I'm sorry, the food lion. He looked so irate at every single juncture of this game. And I know he's going to be like, well, that wasn't my fault. Mac was ready. The team didn't follow him. He's following another person following suit in that respect, by the way, is Dana Holgorsen, who after Houston's loss today, and they did lose. They lost badly today they won by like a score.
Yeah, I was going to say, goddamn, they lost to Rice. Sorry.
No, they did not. But you know what? 34-27 to Rice. Yeah, he said at one point in the press conference, Dana Holgorsen said, I'm tired of motivating these guys. It's crap. Like he sounded like a dude who's done with life. Like,
thanks, coach.
Thanks, coach. Good job, man. I want to go down the list of other people who seem to be done with their particular spot or might be, I don't want to say fraudulent. But I do want to say people who signed their contracts at perfect times and did great work in winning at the boardroom and not necessarily on the field. Minnesota won 34-7 over Michigan State, y'all.
Yeah. So these are the Secure the Bag All-Stars joining Jimbo Fisher in that pantheon. NF Tuck.
Fitness.
NF Tuck is a get in now pricing. Ride the dip. Hold diamond hands.
Walk a mile in these shoes.
That is correct. Michigan imaginary. State had 38 yards. You walk in these imaginary shoes. They cost $7,000. 38 yards rushing. That's how far you're going to be able to walk in your imaginary NF Tuck shoes. Is 38 yards. That's how far they got.
I'm looking. I think every team in Michigan scored more points today. That's not good.
Yeah. No, that's real bad.
And because there's a lot of
really,
teams in
really bad.
But yeah, NF Tuck with the $80 billion guaranteed contract on par with Jimbo Fisher. That's good hustle.
Yeah. Yeah. Quietly, by the way, get the fuck out of the way of the James Madison Dukes. Get the hell out of the way of these Regal Bulldogs because they beat App State 32-28 in Boone, right?
Let's just go ahead and plant this flag now. If JMU goes undefeated in the regular season, and the NCAA does not give them a postseason waiver to participate in the Sun Belt title game or a bowl game, hang the fucking flag. Claim the national title, JMU. Do it. Do it.
100%.
If you get past everyone and you beat Coastal Carolina, I better see a parade. There's no law against it.
We will be the marshals.
Yeah, you would have completely earned it. I have a number that I suspect is fraud. Cal scored 49 points today. I just want to note that and say that I need this independently verified.
I felt like the theme of this week in college football, this was sort of the one where you look up and you realize, like, oh, every team is bad, right? Like, Oklahoma lost, USC looked like garbage. I use look speculatively because no one saw it. Tennessee, as noted, tried very hard to lose. Kentucky and Ole Miss barely beat their, Michigan struggled against Maryland despite spotting them a touchdown. And Georgia, the juggernaut of all juggernauts, the team that's going to barrel over everything, they led Kent State by 10 points in the second half. So I think we reached the point in the year when almost every team is bad. I think there are 128 bad teams, and the good teams are Minnesota, JMU, and Kansas. That's it.
Yeah. I'll take Washington, too. Let's just throw Washington because no one will watch them because all their games happen right now at 1 a.m. Eastern. But Michael Penix Jr., baby.
Currently, yeah, all right. Let's add Washington. Yeah. I wrote this list several hours ago, and Washington has since played a game. So,
yeah, currently leading Stanford 27-7 with 4 minutes and change left in the third quarter. By the way, the scary thought I had today, which is, yeah, Ohio State's real good, but I don't think playing Graham Mertz is really going to prove a lot. And that's not really like, I don't want to insult Graham Mertz. I just want to be like, I don't think Ohio State, I don't think the answer to let's go point for point with Ohio State, you're like, it's Mertz time. No. You're not really if they get up by two scores, you'll never be able to make up that point differential, so you might as well just punt because Ohio State's going to score points. The one team that I looked at today and thought the scariest thing happened, and I need to like make a note of this, in order to beat Georgia, you're going to have that one game, you're going to need Georgia to have that one game where they just fuck up and turn over the ball a lot and seem kind of disinterested and out of sorts. And I'm worried that we just got that against Kent State. Like, they decided, like, hey, we're going to have our worst game. Let's do it against Kent State. Get it out of the way, guys.
Okay, we're good now. That was it. That was your window.
There you go.
You sent Kent State to the window? Well, they couldn't make it through. That's it.
Sorry. Let's see. Who plays Georgia next? Who gets to find out firsthand?
If this is true, next week Georgia plays.
Oh God!
Oh no!
Oh no! There you go. Sorry for leading you into this.
So we get Mizzou scoring. Let's say 4 points. Mm-hmm. Not yeah. Two safeties, just a field goal, and then Auburn. They're going to be without a coach by then, surely, right?
That would be, I'm sorry, hater, that'd be the 3-1 Auburn Tigers.
They're going to fire him after a win. You just know it.
Auburn fans complaining tonight that they're going to have to put up with Harse for another week.
They'll find a way to fire him after a win. They can do it. I believe in Auburn.
If you did not see this game, one, congratulations. Because Michael Felder at In the Bleachers on Twitter, the god.
Today was one of those days where you know exactly what game Felder's talking about.
Yeah, because normally he gives you no clue what he's watching, then just says it. This is what he described it as. This is remarkable. No one is enjoying it. No one likes this, but it is happening to all of us.
It was
insane. And everyone was like, yeah.
So many people were watching this game. It was at the same time as like a Clemson Wake Banger barn burner. Everyone was watching.
They took off baseball. I changed the channel.
Okay, maybe that's it. Baseball drove people into the arms of Auburn, Missouri. That's the worst review of baseball I've ever heard.
That's how desperate we are to not know whatever is going on with the Yankees.
I want to just describe what happened here because the facts are all I really need. Auburn went for a 4th-and-1 in field goal range. They did not get a 4th-and-1. The ball went over to Mizzou. Mizzou hits a lottery shot down the field, gets in field goal range, and then misses. Completely misses their large son of a kicker whose last name is Mavis, misses. Then Auburn lines up for their OT, their one OT one field goal, and misses, but then gets to do it again because Mizzou is offsides. But it's still possible for Mizzou to win this game. And in fact, looks likely as Mizzou's running back rushes toward the end zone and then fumbles the goddamn winning TD through the goddamn end zone.
This was the only part of this game I saw was dude reaching ball toward end zone, which I don't even think he needed to do. Like, I think he could have just dove into the end zone, but I wasn't the guy holding the ball. What would I know? But reaching the ball toward the end zone and just dropping it.
Just whoop through, and thus putting the ball into the phantom zone that exists for the offense only, right? That you fumble the ball in the end zone and they're like, pooh, it disappears.
That's the worst thing you can do. That's the worst thing a football player can do. We must punish the shit out of it.
Yes,
fumbling it went, in that it one went, spot.
It went into negative land. It's the most magical territory in the football rule book is when you fumble through the end zone. I'm like, whew, what happens? You're like, and now it's a cricket match. Everybody grab a bat.
We can't risk this happening again. Give the other guys the ball. Make them go the other way. This place is closed off. This is a radioactive crime scene.
Unclean. This is sour ground.
I'm convinced there's like 1910 like minutes from a meeting between Walter Camp and Teddy Roosevelt where they're like, perhaps we shoot the man. If we shoot the man who fumbles to the end zone, they'll be dissuaded and thus redouble their efforts to hold on to the Oblate spheroid.
It could be from that era when, like, trying to score a touchdown with your offense was frowned upon, when the smart strategy was to punt on first down and wait for them to fuck up. Like, this was an actual, like, 20-year era of college football. So it might have been during that era when it's like, no, don't go toward your own end zone, idiot.
Yes. Yes, you'll get tetanus down there.
You'll go blind.
We don't have a cure for that. Yeah.
What do you mean you get tetanus down there? Sorry, Jason, go ahead.
Speaking of treating the end zone as if it has tetanus, Northwestern has now lost to Duke, an FCS team, and a somewhat lesser MAC team, losing to at least one Miami. Had a good day. Northwestern, which is in this beleaguered state, still has to try to score points against Penn State, Iowa, Wisconsin, and the God monsters of Minnesota. Like, odds are really decent Northwestern's going to finish 0-11 in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah, but you know what? Still got that one win in Ireland. That means we're a corporation. All of Pat Fitzgerald's earnings, that's right, tax-free. It's like Microsoft, Google, and Pat Fitzgerald.
This is like literally old school, like 1979 Northwestern. Like, this is the Northwestern of legend right here. This is none of that going 9-3 while scoring 12 points Northwestern of the last decade. No, this is just straight up scoring 12 points Northwestern.
This is a debacle. It's not the biggest debacle of the day, just a little quiet debacling happening on their home turf in Fort Collins. Colorado State, every time you say, hey, man, listen, every time you say about your football program, hey, listen, man, can't get any worse than this. Colorado State falls through the bottom of the coffin, right? Like, they keep going lower and lower because, yes, last season, Steve Addazio did just leave. He just kept walking right out of the stadium. He didn't actually do that, but it looked like it. And you thought, man, the program must be in a bad shape. They lost to Sacramento State. It's not an FBS team.
It is a Big Sky team, though.
It is a Big Sky team. That's right. Hell yes, Big Sky.
Big Sky Conference appears to have left the chat, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know what they're doing? They're celebrating.
Surrendering to the Southland Conference.
Southland Conference is the conference of the week. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you outlasted them. Sacramento State beat Colorado State at home. Well, that sometimes happens. Sometimes an FCS team just comes in, and I don't know. They're better than you think. You didn't scout them well. Got to get better. This is what gamers might call a skill issue, because this is a 41-10 final. Yeah. Sacramento State beat them by 31 points.
In the I appeared on an NFL podcast a few weeks ago, before the season. It's called Split Zone Duo. And they had a they had a game on there that we done that I won last year. By the way, that this time around, in the draft of FCS teams that will upset FBS teams, I was wise and shrewd enough to select Sacramento State to defeat Colorado State, so I'm on the board. I did not expect this this type of resounding victory. 41-10. I thought CSU would be pretty decent by this point in the season, honestly. After Jay Norville like imported all of his best players from his previous team, like I thought they would be like starting to come together as an okay average Mountain West team. No, they look like Steve Adazio is still in the walls.
He might be.
He's a big guy, so
he does kind of have the look like a schmoo. Like you get the sense that he could slink through pipes undetected.
Just in here being a dude in the pipes.
Like a really aggro schmoo.
What's better than pipes?
Dudes. Dudes in pipes. Dudes being pipes. Pipes being dudes.
I'm being told allegedly Northwestern does have a win in the Western Hemisphere. Fine. It's fine.
Yeah, it's
give it to him.
Yeah, does that interfere with the tax status of Pat Fitzgerald as Irish corporation? I don't think so.
I think the main thing's still the main thing.
Okay, good. We should also note this current scores of interest in the fourth quarter. BYU is leading Wyoming 28-17. I saw Craig Bull run and try to call a timeout. Any man over 60 running looks like a contraption. That's the best way to describe any man over 60 running. They look like a contraption. Utah and Arizona State, problem solved. 31-6 Utah. Fire Herm. keep getting Herm Edwards results. My favorite, by the way, there's an accusation that was one line in that Athletic article about the downfall of the Herm Edwards regime in Tempe. And it said that, yes, staffers were rumored to have leaked information about the program and about their plays to other programs in order to hasten change in Tempe. Okay. I want to get this clear. That's not normal. That's not good. Okay. That's bad. It's probably bad. And everyone who did it, like, that should probably be something that should be discussed in your next coaching interview, is how or why this happened. It would not be good or a great thing to discuss with somebody who's trying to hire you to be like, are you going to undermine me and leak plays? Having said that, as a viable strategy for the opponent, how complex do you think the locks were on the on the Mind Palace of Herm Edwards? What genius do you think you were going to get out of the intricacies of, I don't know, you should tackle. Play a 4-3 and tackle.
You're not going to believe this, Cal, or whoever we're playing this week, but our coach thinks it's 1994 NFC Central.
He's probably going to run on first down. That's it. You know, if you get the plays, you're like, this is just the NFL blitz playbook.
No, we're not going blitz.
No. Sorry. Da-bomb is not in there. Yeah.
We're going Atari NES. Atari NFL is where we're going with this one. The da-bomb is not in there because Utah is going to win. And that lady will not be forced to resort to setting off nukes. I don't know. She might have her top on this time. It's up to her. I don't really care either way. But the good thing is she will not be setting off nuclear power plants.
For all the shit that we have talked about, Alabama, LSU, or Arkansas fans over the year, at no point have I seen any of them topless at a game or threaten actual nuclear warfare. Step it up. Step it up. Because Utah is outpacing all of you.
The half-nude nuclear bombers of Utah fandom.
I want you to consider, how do you respond in times of crisis when you're under an existential threat, Jason? Okay, some people get calm. Utah, with the collapse of the Pac-12 impending, have decided to just go full hardo in every way.
Utah's either going to get nude or set off an extinction level event. It's up to you.
All I'm saying is, that sounds SEC grade right there. Let's go.
Bring him in. Like, we made the case for many years that they're the most Big Ten team in the Pac-12 because of the way they play football. No, you can't have a Big Ten. You waited too long. You didn't want them. You expanded west and you hopped over Utah to take UCLA. You idiots. Come on home, Utes. Come on home.
Yeah, come on. SEC, SLC. Seeing the signs okay. Here?
SEC punks, yeah.
Yeah, that's... just nude and nuking. That's it.
That's how we like them.
That's how we like it in Utah. That's amazing work. They are kicking the shit out of Arizona State. And yes, Washington now up 30-7 over Stanford. And oh, no, I didn't neglect you. Look at you, San Jose State, beating Western Michigan 24-6 here on the late shift. Do we have any interesting questions we want to take, if there are any in the chat? Do we have anything we have missed?
Spencer, do you know how to look at the chat?
I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, okay.
Pleasant surprise.
Yeah, no, I see that the Big Sky Conference did ask a question, right? If Michigan counts Colorado State, why can't we, Jason?
And yeah, you said, because I made a joke about Colorado State being barely FBS. I would never begrudge the Big Sky Conference. Actually, I would, because they didn't stick around. Oh, they're back. Oh, excuse me. I love the Big Sky Conference. They did perfect.
That's right.
Perfect. Great work today.
Perfect conference. Great work. Incredible.
Equally, yes, as good as the Southland Conference in every way.
Yes. Yes. Apparently, Sacramento State, by the way, was favored in that game by 4.5.
That's not good. That's not
disappointing. They only covered like 26.5 points.
Is it bad if you the FBS team are a somewhat sizable underdog at home against an FCS team, and then you lose by almost 10 times that much? I think that's bad.
Seems terrible. Seems terrible. Yeah, I am good. I think that what did we learn this week? I learned that I thought, you know, if you think watching a game is a bad idea, you're probably right. Because I watched Auburn Mizzou and I thought, well, that's probably gonna be a bad idea. And it was so much worse than I imagined. Okay, mm-hmm. So again, if you think you're in danger, right? You know, like the gift of fear. If you think you're in danger, you probably are. And if you think you're in danger of having a bad and confusing time watching Auburn Mizzou, it's not that you're right. It's that you're more right than you can possibly imagine.
Yeah. The thing I learned today is, first of all, that almost everyone is bad. The other is, you know how that, like, that take people have when they're like, the teams that were good when I was 17, college football is just better when those teams are good. Like, you know, that take everyone has.
Yeah.
I've discovered the version of this that is actually accurate, which is college football is just better when Kansas is good. Because in my lifetime, that's 2007 and right now. And that's it.
Suits me.
That's true. If you take 2007 as like the bellwether of all that is great in football, you're completely right. Also, LSU losing like 3 games and somehow being the national champion. That's what's going to happen. I know they only lost 2 that year. This year with the playoff, come on, man. We can get 3. When we expand this thing, LSU's going to win it with like 7 losses.
Brian Kelly's listening. He's intrigued.
He's in the chat right now. Last comment from Josh Cromwell. I just need to report that the BYU Cougar mascot was just on my TV dragging his butt along the ground like a cat trying to express his glands. Carry on.
More mascots should act exactly like the animals that they represent.
Just a badger attacking people in Wisconsin randomly.
Harry, dog, stop licking your butt.
I'm a character. Sorry. I'm a method guy.
I can't help it.
I'm not even sure those foam versions of them could lick their own, like, arms.
Yeah, we gotta install like extra flexible suits for that.
Well, you know who might try that and quit? That's right, Hook'em. I'm doing horns down right now. Just
yeah. All right, let's send the folks out of here on a big horns down. Everybody,
everybody in the chat needs some horns down.
Figure out a horns down emoji.
We're a big cow, and we don't like you.
Yeah, if you've made it this far to 1:15 a.m. on the East Coast, congratulations. You joined people like, yes, Mike Golick Jr., like Morgan. What's up, Morgan? Hey, Podcat. Hello, Carson. Longtime listener, Carson. Jim Prosser. What's up, man? Thank you for making it this far. Yes, the Big Sky Conference, the greatest college football conference in America. I think we can all agree.
One of the two.
That is
along
correct.
With the Southland.
Yes. And I'm sure a Utah football fan quietly listening, probably in one of my cabinets in this room.
No, right? They're not quiet. Nope. You'd know
nude and waiting to spring with a kryptonite ray. Thank you for joining the full cast after dark. Hey, Holly, your team won today. Do you have anything you want to say before we go?
Go Gators.
Good night.
Good night.